Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's holiday edition, Labor Day weekend edition of the Political Cesspool radio program. You know, this weekend might be a time for people to take vacations with their friends and loved ones. Everybody's off work Monday. But here we are, still punching the clock for you here on the Political Cesspool radio program as I sit tonight from our studios, the studios of our flagship station, AM 1380, WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM radio affiliates of the greatest network in all of radio, Liberty News Radio. And, of course, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com, where our broadcast archives are available to you immediately upon the conclusion of each show. Been a fun show tonight. We've reflected on a lot of the accomplishments that this show has enjoyed over the past few months of the summer. Bill Rowland co-hosted with me during that second hour. Of course, kicking things off, as always, during the first hour, Keith Alexander. Now joining me, though, Winston Smith, co-hosting the third hour. This makes it a show in which all of the political cesspool all-stars have appeared except for Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is out this evening. Winston, how are you, buddy?
I am so fine, James. I want to express my compliments to Bill Rowland for that last segment. Folks, what you heard there was the real thing. Bill, I don't know if he knows it or not, but he was speaking on behalf of me too. I just can't say it any better than what he said about our audience and about us being able to do what we do with a clear conscience, because you know we're not at the pay window. We do what we do out of sheer love for our people, and that's what sets us apart. And Bill, if you're still listening, thank you very much. That was not just the truth, but it was inspiring. Bill, you're just one of those guys. You keep getting better and better as the show progresses.
Yeah, Bill does. I don't know what happens to people like us, Winston. We gotta hang in there. Maybe our day will come also.
Well, I get pretty good.
All kidding aside, of course.
By the way, before we go into an interview, there's something I do want to say, James.
Yeah.
Since we're doing a fundraising drive here, you said earlier that you'd rather take a punch to the gut than ask for money. And I think that's a way we can actually raise money. We could sell punches to James Edwards' gut.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
$5 a punch.
I think that'd be good. How much would you pay for that?
I think you owe me a punch. I think you should give me one for free. I should punch you just because.
On the house for all these years of service and no compensation. Yeah. That's right. Well, anyway, folks, it's been a fun show tonight. Well, we've been serious. We've had a lot of serious subject matters that's been addressed, but it's a holiday show. So as I said, we're coming in tonight with our jumpsuits on rather than our suit and tie, and the lunch pail. But, listen, you know, when it comes down to actually making tangible, positive accomplishments that you can point your finger on and say, listen, that's one thing we did where we know we accomplished something. Well, when you want those kinds of results, one of the clearest ways to do it is to run for office and win. And when the rare opportunity presents itself for the political cesspool to endorse a candidate that meets our criteria, we like to get behind them with full force and support them to the extent that we can. And, of course, make their candidacies known to you in the vaunted political cesspool listening audience so you can do your part in supporting them and hopefully propelling them to Election Day victory. As you know, I am a member and, in fact, a member of the board of directors for the American Third Position, American3P.org, and we now have a candidate on the line who is running, incidentally, for the same office that I sought 8 years ago here in Tennessee. He's running for the State House of Representatives, and his name is Ryan Murdaugh. Ryan, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, it's an honor to have you. I appreciate you offering yourself as a candidate and going through the trials and rigors of a political campaign. I've been there myself, as I said, back in 2002, 2 years before this show ever began. Ron, first things first, let people know exactly which office you're seeking and what state you're seeking it in.
Well, I'm running for the House of Representatives in New Hampshire for District 8. I'm running as a Republican with an A3P endorsement.
Running as a Republican with an A3P endorsement, meaning that you will appear on the ballot in the GOP column, and this is in the primaries, if I'm not mistaken, and that primary election is right around the corner.
Right, 10 days from now, September
14th. 10 days from now. So people listening tonight, now if they're asking themselves the question, why should I support a candidate in New Hampshire if I'm tuned in you know, another state? Well, the answer is obvious. You got to support our candidates wherever they present themselves, because so few have the willingness to stand up and advance our agenda without retreat, surrender, or apology. Ryan Murdaugh may be in New Hampshire, but he's one of these guys that isn't going to back down when he's elected. So, Ryan, how can people help you between now and your election day, which is just a week and a half away?
Well, the major part of my campaign's already been going on. I've had some radio ads run. I have signs all over my district. And I actually have a few more things up my sleeve with some help from the A3P. Honestly, the biggest help in the next 10 days would probably be people calling newspapers, people writing letters to the editor, just letting them know that, you know, I'm not alone, you know, in my beliefs, and letting the liberal media know that there are people that actually support me.
Well, Ryan, let me ask you this, thinking of what people could do from a distance, not being physically on the ground in New Hampshire to work polls or things of that nature, could people from outside of New Hampshire contact your campaign and volunteer to work a phone bank, which in which they would call people, you know, registered voters in your district, and encourage them to vote for you? Is that something they could do?
Yeah, they could definitely do that. You know, I would have to come up with a voters list for them. But yeah, they could definitely do that if they wanted to, for sure.
Well, we're going to get into that. We'll actually revisit that in the next segment, how people can help you. And, of course, the first question should be, why should they help you? Talk a little bit about your platform. When you're going out there and you're knocking on doors and you're presenting your ideas to the voters, what are the things that you're telling them first and foremost?
Well, basically, you know, all of the Republicans in my state anyway, they're all preaching the same thing, which I agree with as well. You know, smaller government, less taxes. You know, putting up a border fence, you know, deporting illegal immigrants. But one thing the Republicans refuse to do is stand up for their base, and that's white Americans. And, you know, right now, you know, there's a bit of a civil war going on in the Republican Party right now, not just my state, but, you know, nationwide. And I think that's a great thing. And I think that's where the A3P is going to come into play. We're going to be here waiting for the people that feel disenfranchised from the Republican Party that's not representing them.
We're coming up on a break here in just a moment, and I'm going to turn the interview over to Winston and get him to ask you about some of the attacks that you've had to sustain. And I tell you, I am a guy who is very familiar with being attacked and you know, falsely attacked and you know, subject to character assassinations and all of these other things that you come that meet you when you stand on the front lines. But you were victim of an attack that absolutely goes above and beyond and far past anything that I have ever seen, not just personally, but anyone. That's how grotesque it was. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But let me ask you this. You talked briefly about some of the you know, primary tenets of your campaign. What's the reaction from you know, Joe Sixpack as you go door to door? What kind of reception are you getting from the actual voters, not the media, but the legitimate citizenry?
Well, to be honest, we have had mixed. You know, some people want me to go away. Some people quietly support me. you know, in the, you know, if we're talking just, you know, one-on-one. So I think it's hard to say what's going to happen on voting day. You know, people might go into their little voting booth and quietly support me, or they, you know, people just might not be ready for my message yet and just, you know, not want anything to do with me, and, you know, they might not want to have anything to do with being the district that voted for the evil white racist.
Well, we're going to find out in 10 days, I guess, but we're certainly going to do our part, and I hope that my listeners will do their part in making sure that you have the best chance to succeed on Election Day as you possibly can. We're going to talk more with Ryan Murdaugh, candidate for state representative in New Hampshire. He's a Republican running with an American Third Position endorsement. You're not going to want to miss the story that we got for you right after this.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Talking with Ryan Murdaugh now, a candidate for state representative in New Hampshire. He is running affiliated with the American Third Position. Learn more about that outstanding party at American3P.org. I've always subscribed to the motto that you can judge the quality of a man by the company that he keeps. That includes not only his friends, but his enemies as well. And I don't know what I'm more proud of, my friends or my enemies. Because they play an equal role in kind of defining the character that I have. And I'm proud to have the enemies I have. I wouldn't want my enemies to be my friends, and I wouldn't want my friends to be my enemies. But Winston, with that being said, Ryan Murdaugh was subjected to a egregiously contemptuous article. Why don't you give the audience a little more information about that and ask Ryan a few questions about it?
Certainly. Folks, it wasn't that long ago that Mr. Murdaugh was the subject of a despicable piece of so-called journalism, and there was the usual tripe that you will see in the text of the article. But what was most shocking was the graphics that were placed in that article. There was a picture of some large bald-headed guy with a swastika tattooed on the back of his head and giving a Nazi salute. And I think there was another picture there that was equally despicable. But Mr. Murdaugh has nothing to do with Nazism. It was the most blatant and most wretched and most fetid and most stinking hit piece I have seen in recent memory. Ryan, were there any effects of that? Did the newspaper receive any negative feedback from that?
Oh, they definitely did. And, you know, when I first saw it, I honestly chuckled because it was so just over the top. It was funny. But, you know, what was really refreshing was scrolling down and seeing the comments. And even people who not necessarily had my views, they completely called out the New York Daily News on their just complete smear of me. And, you know, we all know the New York Daily News is very, very Jewish. So,
Ryan, before we go on, I wanted to give people a chance to learn more about you. Do you have a website to which they can go?
I do. It's www.whitehampshire.com.
All right. I couldn't quite hear you there. So what was that again?
Whitehampshire.com.
All right. From the article that the New York Daily News posted and from some of the other comments about you that you can find online, it's pretty plain that there are a lot of people out there who hate you. And I would venture to say that you, like most white nationalists, you really don't hate anybody for the color of their skin or their culture. But I'm sure you have been subjected to the very hatred that people seem to decry and that they seem to falsely associate with you. What are some of the things that you've experienced being an openly white nationalist candidate?
Well, on blogs, I've read things where people say that I should be fired because I work in education. They say that I should be fired because I must be spreading hate at my job. I even read one post saying that I should have my kids taken away from me. So I've read stuff like that. But you know, whenever our opposition does that, they expose themselves as the true haters themselves. And that's a good thing.
Well, I want to say this. I'm actually at whitehampshire.com right now, and it is a very tastefully appointed website, very sharp, very reflects very well upon the candidacy of Ryan Murdaugh. And I want to say this, going back to that article, the aforementioned article that Winston mentioned from the newspaper in New York. Obviously, what was so horrible about that is because they had this skinhead guy with the swastika tattoo, as if that were Ryan Murdaugh, or at least they were hoping that people would, you know, obviously think that if it's a story about Ryan Murdaugh and you got a caption of a guy with a swastika tattooed on his head, you will think that's Ryan Murdaugh, and that was their way to slime him. Well, of course, we knew it wasn't Ryan. Ryan's got a full head of hair, which is more than I can say. Hosting this program for 6 years is hosting this show for 6 years led me to be prematurely bald. But listen, Ryan is a working man. He's got a young family. It says here on his website, I'd like to represent the eighth district, Ryan.
Right.
Despite what the media says about me, and in contrast to those who run alongside me, I'm an ordinary American, not a politician. I care about New Hampshire. It's a great place to live, and I'd like to keep it that way. However, there are a number of things that could be better. Vote for me in September, and let's put local people first. Folks, you got to check out this website and support the candidacy of a man who has come out clearly in favor of your interests. WhiteHampshire.com. Some of the bullet points here, this is what Ryan's campaigning on. This is what Ryan is campaigning on, which leads people to falsely characterize him as all of these horrible things. American jobs for American workers. Oh my God, how terrible. Stop immigration. Stop racist affirmative action programs. How could anyone, any decent human, oppose any of that stuff? These are the things that Ryan is championing. You need to check him out. You need to support him. His election is in 10 days, everybody. WhiteHampshire.com. Winston, back to you. I just had to chime in there because I'm at the website and I'm motivated to say something because it looks really good. I want people to see it.
Ryan, you said you work in education, and because of your political views, people are saying that that you should be fired from your job in education. Is that what you said?
Right.
Now, folks, I want to remind you that it wasn't that long ago that we saw a video of a mestizo school teacher, a history teacher in California, at a rally encouraging people to kill frail white people. And that video was a couple of years old, but when he was confronted with it, just recently, he had no shame for it whatsoever, and he said he was a proud socialist, and this is a guy who he is encouraging people to kill white people, and yet he is in education, and I didn't hear anything from CNN to call for this guy's ouster. And there was another school teacher, a junior high, not a school teacher, but he works at a junior high in the Pacific Northwest. He's a Jew, and started an organization called Crash the Party, in which he was trying to recruit people to go to Tea Party rallies and act like idiots. He wanted them to say racist things. He wanted them to hold badly spelled signs. In other words, he wanted these people to lie to paint the Tea Party as something that it wasn't. So these are people in education.
Yeah, these are people, Winston, that are in education, and because they are radical liberals, There's no negative stigma attached to their political ideology. But Ryan Murdaugh, a young man with a family, a productive member of society, he says he wants to stop affirmative action, secure America's borders, and put America first in the job market, and he gets labeled all of these horrible things. Ron, we've got a minute left. I encourage everyone once again to go to whitehampshire.com and support the Ron Murdaugh campaign any way that you can. Contact the campaign and let them know how you can be of service. Ron, 30 seconds, a final word.
I would encourage, and basically I hope my candidacy will inspire other, you know, people across the country to do the same thing. Because, you know, some little guy in New Hampshire can do it. Anybody can do it.
Well, folks, let's make sure he's one of the guys that can do it. Check him out, whitehampshire.com. We'll be back with more right after this.
We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. All right, everybody. Since we're doing a little candidate showcase here on this, our Labor Day holiday edition of the Political Cesspool radio program, I want to move from one candidate to another. You just heard from Ryan Murdaugh, running for state representative in New Hampshire. Let's move back to our home state for a moment and talk with a fine lady who has been a supporter of this radio program for a number of years, who is running, believe it or not, for governor of Tennessee, June Griffin. June, are you there?
I am.
Good to hear from you. Running for governor.
Well, yes, I'm running independent this time. I'm tired of these rhinos.
Winston, I would vote for June based upon her accent alone. Am I alone in that or what?
Oh, absolutely not. That is the accent that we should be speaking. I don't know why I never acquired the southern accent, though I am as southern as a turnip green. But yes, June, your accent is very lovely, and I salute you for it.
Well, I can't help it. I can't take any credit for it.
Right. That was in God's hands.
We talked with one man who's running for the state house in New Hampshire, and now we've got a lady who's running for the governorship of Tennessee. There's something I'd like to ask you about that most people in Tennessee don't know about, and certainly people outside of Tennessee don't know about, and that's the Tennessee, what's it called, Declaration of Rights?
Exactly, and it can never be abrogated. It's set outside of the powers of the government. In other words, it cannot be ever changed. It can't be messed with. And it says so in the Constitution. And the part that I like to zero in, especially since we're under the gun by the federal government on other issues, it says the doctrine of non-resistance to arbitrary power is abusive and slavish and absurd. And I have quoted this over and over to lawyers and judges and county commissioners. They take an oath on this very thing, that they would resist arbitrary power, and they never do. The Attorney General needs to be impeached because he did not stand with Arizona and with Susan Lynn when they passed that sovereignty amendment. He should have sued, and he needs to be impeached for dereliction of duty.
Well, before we go any further, let's give people the information they need to learn more about your candidacy. Do you have a website?
I do not have a website. I don't have $31 million. I don't have any cards. I don't have anything except a bunch of experience and integrity. If they will Google June Griffin, they're going to find there's a lot of YouTubes on there about things I've been involved in, like when I took down the Mexican flag and was indicted for hate crimes and all that.
You were indicted for hate crimes for taking down a Mexican flag?
I remember that.
Yeah, I took one down out of this Mexican grocery store, Hispanic grocery store, and this guy wouldn't speak English language, and I told him he didn't have any right to have it posted. Which he had it posted on the front door, like this is this is Little Mexico, and I told him he had no right to do that, and he wouldn't even talk to me, so I walked out with it. And
and you were charged with a hate crime. What
came
of
crimes,
that?
Theft, vandalism, phone harassment. But for 8 months, I was under indictment, and then they all disappeared, and the case was dismissed.
Wow.
Did anybody check on the immigration status of the person who couldn't speak English in Tennessee?
Well, I think we know. But anyway, they all left town, and I went free.
Well, June, I mean, what kind of – were you looking at time for that?
About 2 to 4 years.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you what. Listen.
Anyway, one of the reporters asked me, he said – Miss Griffin, don't you know this is going to cost you a lot? I said it cost David Crockett his life.
Amen to that. Listen, I tell you what. I know you've got a platform that you're running on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've already got, I don't know how many votes you've won tonight, just in saying, though, just in that last statement and the previous story. I mean, she certainly got my vote, Winston. What about you?
Hey, you're going to have somebody.
There's no question about it. I'd like to know if I asked our previous guest if he'd received any abuse for his positions. How about you? But other than being threatened with time and the slammer for taking down the Mexican flag, I'm sure you've been called a racist. So
those things don't bother me. I have some names I'd like to call them too, but I'm not going to.
I think if you win, if you do become the governor, I think people are going to start calling you Ma Griffin.
Well, I don't know. You have...
I think you'd be proud to be called Ma Griffin, would you?
Well, today I was at actually allowed at a Republican Party get together, and Bill Haslam was there, and he said we were going to have somebody to go through stormy times. And I said, well, I think I know a little bit about stormy times, and I really tell you the truth, I don't think he's going to be mean enough to face what we're going to face.
Well, June, if I could interject, for people, of course, we have a global audience tuned into this program tonight. For those who live outside of the volunteer state of Tennessee, Bill Haslam is the Republican nominee for governor.
Right.
So you actually got to had the misfortune of meeting him.
They put me on. I mean, they put... This is how, you know, there has been a good reputation here. I mean, I told them, I said, I haven't done much with my life. I've only represented God at the Bible at the UN. I sued the IRS and gained an increased tax deduction for everybody of $540,000. I said, I represented God in the Bible in the Tennessee sodomy case, and I represented David Crockett down here at this Hispanic grocery store.
So you're already a seasoned politico,
I sued the ACLU and beat them out of their legal fees up in there in Knox and Davidson County. And I was going after Cheatham County, but listen to this. This is how dangerous the Tea Parties are and the citizens that are against this taxation. The judge said if I was allowed to intervene as a taxpayer, it would torpedo the settlement and raise other issues. What do you think about that?
Sounds like a judge is a coward. Sounds like he's working for somebody other than the law and the people.
The taxpayer is a very dangerous person if they really are active, and we have been active. I'm getting calls from Tea Parties now, and it's good. If I can just get enough coverage without spending $31 million like Bill Haslam did.
Well, you know what's going to happen since you've now appeared on the political cesspool. How are you going to handle that? We all know what's going to happen.
I have an email. Does that work? Phone number. Well, they can call me.
Okay. Well, if you want to give it out, let's hear it.
423-775-0774. And my email is jb21@juno.com. And I really do need some West Tennessee exposure now. I'm getting lots of coverage up here in East Tennessee. My calendar's getting real full I'm getting calls from Tea Parties. But I need some Middle and West Tennessee coverage. And I really appreciate you all because, you know, I've been on here before. Remember when I covered the state for the Ten Commandments?
That's right. That was back in the day, June. I tell you, that was before we were the political cesspool, but we weren't the political cesspool. I mean, we've grown a lot since then. But I tell you, you know, you've been a friend of mine for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got that email from you asking to come on the show, you know, we couldn't get you on quickly enough. So I'm happy to have you on tonight. I think that the audience is just loving what you've got to say. As you describe for them some of the things you've gone through, some of the things you've done, I want them to vote for you, those living in Tennessee. Now, you will appear on the November
ballot.
General ballot.
Yep. Uh-huh.
In every county in Tennessee, yes, as an independent candidate for governor. So they had to go down and find the name June Griffin, and
right,
that is the political cesspool's candidate for governor. That's the one they got to vote for, right?
Right. And, you know, somebody wrote me and they said, well, your problem is you're not young and marketable. I said, what on earth does that mean? That's like being up on a block to be sold. Isn't it?
How old is Bill Haslam? I mean,
well, he must be marketable with all that money. And, you know, he owns all these service stations where the poor clerk is behind the counter and she doesn't even have a gun. And he claims that he's for gun rights. He puts her out there to be robbed. What in the world?
Hang on.
You become more interesting by the minute here.
Winston, hang on one second. Let's pull the reins for a second. We've got to take a break. We're going to come back. A few final thoughts with June Griffin, independent candidate for governor of Tennessee, right after this.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Continuing on now with June Griffin, independent candidate for governor of Tennessee. Also still on the line, Ryan Murdaugh, running for state representative up in New Hampshire, two candidates that we wanted to bring to your attention this evening, this holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend, the political cesspool. June, very quickly, I think you've given people more than enough reason to vote for you as a result of that which you shared with us in the previous segment. But just a quick bullet point recap of your platform. When you go and you speak to these Tea Party groups, when you go and you talk to people in any way that you can reach them, how do you sell yourself?
Well, there's quite a few points here, but the main thing is we're going to get our state back. We're going to get it out of the hands of the federal government. I want to withhold all the income tax withholding of the state employees. We'll keep it in Tennessee, and it'll never go to Washington. We've got to have our state sovereignty secured, and we're going to have to go over that attorney general. He's going to have to read the Declaration of Rights publicly. If we have a governor and a sheriff in every county running their county instead of all these layers and layers of law enforcement, we'll be on the way back. I know how to do this. I know how to do it, and with God's help, it will be done. It's not going to continue like it is. We've had enough. We've had enough, and we just can't tolerate any more bureaucracies. The bureaucracies are shutting down business. The rules and regulations. How can you operate any kind of business if you're harassed to death or live in jeopardy of constantly someone breathing down your neck? You can't run a business like that, and they're responsible for closing down our whole economy with these bureaucrats. I have a little song I wrote: "Go give me a home where no bureaucrats roam and the taxes are not very high." And we're going to get our nation back, and I know that it's going to start in Tennessee. I don't
well,
know
It certainly could. We have a rich history of people putting their lives on the line.
That's right.
In service of a cause greater than ourselves. And, in fact, it's what the state used to be known for.
Well, you know, one thing that when the statue of John Sevier was dedicated, the chaplain said, "May the charm of living dangerously never leave the heart of the Tennessean."
Hey, the charm of living dangerously. That sounds like a
the charm of
like
living dangerously.
Yeah, that's right. The charm. It's a cesspool slogan. Well, you know, I've written this. I always wax nostalgic during Confederate History Month. So proud to have, you know, had the opportunity to win the genetic lottery and be born a Southerner, but even more specific than that, to be born a Tennessean is just something that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. And June, I know you feel the same way, but let me ask you this. You're such a live wire and you present yourself so well. You've got this dynamic personality that comes across in the radio, and I'm sure it comes across even more so in public. You've certainly got my vote. You've got Winston's vote. We're voting for you for governor this November, and I hope a lot of the people listening in Tennessee tonight do the same thing. Running for governor is a tall order. What led you to run for governor rather than something a little more local, such as alderman, school board, something like that?
Well,
I think
I've
you can walk
all
into
those
elections.
Offices, and I keep losing because I keep hitting where the problem is with the grants. But this is an emergency situation where we're going to have a governor who will stand by our constitutions, no matter what, and sheriffs. And I'm going to call a conference. If Lord willing, I would get up there. There will be a conference on sheriffs, and I will put my blessing on them and clean out your county and make it to be a constitutional county. I mean, it's got to, if we get back to these two constitutions, they take a sacred oath to uphold. I've listened to them. Take a sacred oath to uphold the federal and the state constitution. And we're going to set up some independent judiciary with old county judges because the judiciary is completely gone. It's over. So we start with that attorney general's office. He's guilty of dereliction of duty. We're going to stand on our state sovereignty under the 19th. I'm also head of the Tennessee Committee for the Bill of Rights. And,
hey, folks, I mean, if she hadn't won your vote by now, there's nothing I can say to add to any of that. I mean, outstanding lady. But if by chance she hasn't convinced you, let me also offer this. She's appeared on the political cesspool. I think that in and of itself.
That is a great.
That's it right there. And she's much more than that, contributed to the show. So not only she's put her money where her mouth is, on top of everything else. So you got my vote, June. With
thank
my heartiest
you.
Endorsement, I ask for other people to vote for you in November. And I'll tell you what, we'll have you back on before November, before the general election day, maybe a week or two prior to the election, and we'll do this all over again. But, Winston, all that being said, I want to turn it over to you. A final question for June, and, of course, we need to recap and follow up with Ryan Murdahl, state representative candidate from New Hampshire, once more as well. Winston.
Live free or die.
Well, absolutely.
June, I could ask you a whole peck of questions, but in the interest of time, I just want to ask you, why don't you challenge the Attorney General to a debate on the Declaration of Rights?
Hey, I'd love to. I don't know how to do that.
I think these people ought
to
be forced to confront this thing publicly.
I tried to give him a copy. We went to his door with a tea party several months ago when we were going through the Sovereignty Amendment, and they sent some lackey out to the back door like we're a bunch of, European slaves. And wouldn't even, I gave them copies. I said, read this. This is what you're sworn by. But they're so high and mighty, they think they're king. They're not.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
You give them an inch, they think they're a ruler.
Yeah, I give them an inch, they'll think they're a ruler. Oh, that's a good one, Winston. All right, well, June Griffin running for governor, independent candidate for governor of Tennessee. Her election date won't be until November. We'll have her back on between now and then. But coming up much more urgently, I guess, 10 days from now, Ryan Murdahl will meet the voters and get their verdict at the ballot box. Ryan, of course, our guest for the first half hour of this hour. WhiteHampshire.com is his website. Ryan, I want to thank you again for coming on the program tonight, and just wanted to remind people of your campaign one last time, because we won't have the opportunity to have you back before Election Day. And was there anything that we failed to cover with you that you would like to bring to the audience's attention before we run out of time tonight?
No, just that I believe the meat of the matter is race, and we can have all the financial policies, you know, we can have all kinds of positive financial policies in place, but the fact of the matter is the darker this country gets, the more we're going to become a mix between Mexico and Haiti. And I don't want that. I'm not going to let it happen without a fight.
Well, as I said on CNN, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population, and I appreciate that there are at least two candidates out there who understand these facts and are campaigning on issues that matter to those of us who descended from the founding stock of this nation. Winston, June Griffin, Ryan Murdahl, a final word from you to them.
Ryan, the best of luck to you. I hope it works out well. Let us know how it goes. And Ms. Griffin, I'm gladly going to vote for you. I just don't know what to say. It was a real pleasure to get to meet you.
I think she
ran away.
Didn't run away, Winston. I guess she's gone tonight to run further in her campaign. But Ryan, you were going to say a final word?
I just said it was nice talking to you guys, and I appreciate it.
Anytime. Well, that's what we're here to do, to talk about the issues that motivate us to take action. And then, of course, whenever we can, promote and advance those who are out there on the battlefield doing the work that we encourage all of our listeners to do, and that's engaging in the court of public opinion. And even in political campaigns, in the case of our two guests this hour, y'all are doing a great job, certainly more than most, and I commend both of you. Best of luck to you, Ryan. Election Day in 10 days. Folks, check him out at whitehampshire.com. Find out how you can help, even if it's manning a phone bank, encouraging registered voters to get out there and vote in his primary election in 10 days. Do it. Ryan Murdahl. And then, of course, you'll hear from June Griffin again before November. Been a great show tonight, Winston. A final word from you. You got any big Labor Day plans?
I'll be at my wood shop, and I'm going to be winding coils for radios. And I'm just going to relax. I'm going to have a good weekend.
Well, you do that, buddy, and God bless you. And thanks for coming on tonight and sharing another fun and riveting hour and informative hour with a couple of candidates, June Griffin and Ryan Murdahl. And Winston, Yeah,
you took me by surprise. I didn't know Miss Griffin was going to be on, but I'm glad I got to meet her.
Wasn't that great? I mean, you know, I even surprised my own hosts from time to time. But Winston, listen, best to you and your family, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, James. Good evening to you.
On behalf of the entire Political Cesspool hosting staff, Winston Smith, Bill Rowland, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards, and I'll see you next week. Remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. God bless you, everybody. Happy Labor Day.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.